Welcome to Book Spectrum, where we talk with writers who aren't necessarily seasoned authors, but come to us from various professions across the spectrum. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. I enjoy a good mystery, and I enjoy a good psychological thriller, as well as a deep look into the meanings of dreams. So why not read one of those books, which has all aspects? With me is Laurie Elizabeth Murphy, a former registered nurse and psychotherapist who has become a writer. She normally writes nonfiction pieces, but this is different. This is much different. She served up a rather mentally adventurous story, if you will. It's called Dream Me Home. This book takes the reader into different planes with this psychological mystery and, dare I say, a mind's adventure. Welcome to Book Spectrum, Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're here, and thank you very much for coming on. In the past, as I mentioned before, you've really written mostly nonfiction books. This is a quite different path, though.
That's correct. I've dreamed books in my head my whole life, but I only wrote self-help books prior to this.
Well, self-help books are tough to write sometimes because you got to help people. And
I can't use my imagination for self-help books.
Well, people always want the easy way out, and the self-help books, sometimes they give them that. Sometimes you tell them what they don't want to hear.
Oh, and that's, always, yes.
But they do help.
Yes.
What inspired you, however, to write this mix of a mystery and psychological thriller?
Well, I was a psychotherapist for 38 years after my nursing career. And during that time, you can imagine how many patients I spoke with. And all of their stories, all of the people that they knew, all the insights that they had sort of took residence in my mind and the events that came over them. And on top of that, you know, we always long for, not maybe all of us, but many of us long for a first love experience again over years later. So I mixed all that together and I thought, what if you could reconnect with somebody from your past that you never stopped thinking about and yet had all the different incidents that occurred with patients in real life that was a mixture and a blueprint? And the story just evolved from there.
So it adds a bit of a love story into it as well, I guess.
Love story, yeah. I wanted that to be the primary focus, but it really didn't occur until the last third of the book. Ended up being a psychological thriller that I didn't anticipate, but it turned out pretty good.
Well, that's funny. You didn't anticipate it, but you did choose to write this book as a third-person descriptive, not as a third-person descriptive narration, but from the point of view of the main character, Peggy. What made you go this route?
I knew that in order to make this, when I read books, I want the characters to be fully developed. And sometimes even if the plot is good, but the characters are not developed, you don't care about them. And I thought the best way to develop Peggy, who's the protagonist, would be from her own mouth. Unfortunately, and I won't give this anything away, because on the first page, you find out Peggy is dead. So what better way to know everything about her and what happened except through her own voice. So that's what I decided to do. I decided to let her narrate the book.
Again, this was supposed to have been a love story, but she winds up dead. Yeah. So the main character is dead, but it's a love story.
Yes.
And it became a true thriller and a huge mystery. What happened between when you decided to pen this thing and say, hey, I'm going to write this really nice love story, and all of a sudden it became a story of a psychological ups and downs, manipulation? Again, a lot of love stories have all of that, but that's a different story for a different day, and full-on mysteries where you really don't know what's what. And even if you try to move along a little bit and you find out little things here and there, and still it's a huge mystery.
Yeah. Well, nobody likes a cheesy, sappy love story. I mean, when you see what's coming, you just think, okay, I don't need to read this book. I've read thousands of these books.
Right. So we're not doing Hallmark Channel reviews here.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought, okay, how can we make this better? And Peggy came to life once I put her on the page. All my characters sort of live in my head after I breathe life into them. And Peggy really, I thought, needed to tell her backstory. And the backstory has a lot of unforeseen events, cracks in her original marriage to the plastic surgeon. And she evolves as we do with her to realize that a small crack in a marriage can really become a huge event, especially when there's an unforeseen happening that you expect your husband to take care of and he doesn't. And then she relives all of this mess that she gets herself into. And that culminates later into a love story, but with someone else.
On the surface, people are listening right now, and they might have just picked up, or they might have picked up the book, looked at the first few pages, and they think, wow, a lot of women, it's their dream to be married to a plastic surgeon. That's where they get all the, they can keep the, keep looking young at no charge and things like that. Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic. Great idea. I'm not a big fan of surgery. I'm not a big fan of needles. So that's a different story for a different day. But let's ask this question. Let's ask it this way. I have not had a plethora of mystery writers on Book Spectrum. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I've had some, a few, but I want to ask you, okay.
Mm-hmm.
As this kind of evolved into something different from what it was supposed to be, how did you go about writing the mystery aspect of the book? Because a lot of this hangs on your expertise and life experience.
Uh-huh.
But the only thing you weren't was a detective.
Well, that's true. But I was a big Agatha Christie fan when I was growing up. So
everybody likes Agatha Christie.
In my head. But I was married to an orthopedic surgeon. So, you know, the front story is people always think, oh, wow, it's a dream marriage. And how lucky are you and all that. And yes, he was a great guy. But behind the scenes and in medical meetings and, you know, having lunches and dinners with other professionals, you realize doctors are just human beings and they have a lot of flaws. People don't see them because when you walk into the office, they're wonderful. They're fabulous. They try to help you and they're kind. Behind the scenes, sometimes not so much. And then when I was working with my next husband, I've been married twice. He was a psychologist. And you realize all the patients bowed down to him and thought, oh, he just knows everything and he can calm all my fears and my anxieties. But behind the scenes, he's also just a regular person. So I sort of unveiled these two professions and let people see, no, there's a lot of character flaws that go on behind the scenes.
The character flaws are there and we've seen them in the book and the readers will, if they haven't picked the tome up yet, they will enjoy the flaws and the aspects of each of the characters from Peggy on forward. Mm-hmm. However, on this mystery aspect, what you're saying is not a lot of this was preset. A lot of this went as it was going to change and things happened as it went along. You're sort of traveling on the same journey the reader will.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm going to tell you something that I promised myself I wouldn't say, but I might as well tell you.
But you heard it here first. Oh, no. No, you heard it here first.
When I put a character on the page, Peggy was my protagonist. So she was my first character. I sort of knew it was going to be a love story at some point. I didn't know how she was going to get there exactly because I knew it was going to be with someone she wasn't married to. But in all of our lives, we have something that happens, whether it's by ourselves or our extended family or a friend we know, that's so unforeseen that it turns the tide and we go down a completely different path than we think. And then all of a sudden we realize we have no control over anything. In this case, there was such a huge unforeseen event that occurred to Peggy, and I'm not going to reveal what it is because I don't want everybody to say, oh, I'm not going to read the book then. It changed everything in her life. And how did that affect me? I don't really write the stories anymore. When I bring the characters onto the page, they sort of take me on the journey too. I used to wake up sometimes and say to my husband, you would never believe what happened to Peggy. And he would say to me, well, that's ridiculous because you're the author. But I am the author, but the characters will let you know their journey. And if you're not true to that, that's why people say, well, I have writer's block. No, you don't have writer's block. You're trying to make the character go in a different direction than they want to go. So these characters took me along for the ride. And we enter into every two or three chapters, there's a new character. And there's at least five really, not protagonists, there's only one, but five main characters that are pertinent to the entire mystery. And there we are.
Similarly to that last question, I have to pronounce that word a lot better.
Uh-huh.
How did you balance all these twists that you wanted in here? The ones that you had to move along to make things happen with the book. And then also take that and I'll say the word balance again, but balance that with the idea that you still wanted to make this a love story, and then you still found other things you wanted to add to the book along the way.
Yes, that's true. I mean, we have, you know, we all want to know, how do detectives solve crimes? So we have a detective in there that's pretty important. What about psychiatrists? We have a psychiatrist in this book who, you know, as a psychotherapist, I know the power that we have when patients come in and are vulnerable. I was a good person. So is our whole practice. But there are people in the field, I don't know them, but I would imagine can twist and turn people's minds into pretzels. When you're in a vulnerable state, like Peggy was, I mean, she was killed. When you're in a vulnerable state and you seek help, you're hanging on the word of anybody that can help you. Unfortunately, this guy was not a good guy. So you see her brain getting scrambled up. And now all of a sudden, she doesn't know who she can trust. And that's how the mystery evolves. Who can she trust out of six characters?
And you made every one of them look suspicious.
Yes, I did.
Well, that's a good thing, because that makes the mystery even more, because you're trying to find something good about the characters, but then you're just saying, well, these people are horrible. And or there's something about them that makes them, that caused Peggy all these problems. And all of a sudden, and of course, you're thinking, boy, any one of these guys could have, or any one of these people could have killed Peggy.
Yeah. And most of the time you have a preconceived notion that you really like this character or you really don't like this character, but sometimes they surprise you. And sometimes the one that you're rooting for, suddenly you think, wait a minute, they're not the good guy anymore. And the person that you hated and despised, and there are two people like that in this book, at the end, you're thinking, you know, maybe I was wrong in my evaluation of this person. So up until the end, you're always on the fence about every chapter is, I hope, a page turner. And every time you think you have it solved or you really know how you feel about this person, you don't. And even after the book was over, and I mean, I write it, so I know how it ended, people are still arguing with me and saying, I think this happened. I know you said this happened, but I think this happened. Or people are saying, what happened to Rob, Peggy's husband now? I'm like, I don't know, because he's fiction. And you're like, no, but I know, but I need to know. So, you know, that takes me to, I'm writing a sequel because people want to know what happened to the characters. So, okay.
Well, that's another thing. In reading the book, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at it and saying, well, all right, now I think I figured this one out. Then I turn a few pages, aha, no, that's the twist. That person did it. Then you read up a little more. Wait a minute. So you think you're sure, but the good thing is you're not.
And even as I was writing it, I thought I was sure, but then something occurred and I went, oh no, we're going to have to get rid of this guy. Well, then who else could it be? So the clues start to add up, but then they fall apart.
So you're saying it was the same for you too. You're thinking, hey, I got it. This guy did it. And then you change your mind and you think, no, let's do it this way.
Because sometimes the bad guy really still had some good about them. And I thought, well, wait, let me resurrect this character, because this guy over here, you know, we weren't paying attention to him, but maybe we should bring him in and see what he's about. So yeah, I was surprised.
On the dark side, you open up a serious door, something that could happen to anybody. Being manipulated by somebody with the power to scramble one's mind, a psychotherapist, psychiatrist, psychologist, or anybody like that.
Yeah.
That's a very real situation.
It is. It is a real situation. We have had patients that have come to us after seeing other people, and they were convinced that they were hopeless or they were completely mentally ill or that they needed to be on medication when they really didn't. And, you know, I don't know why psychologists or psychiatrists maybe think that they should have all the answers, because we don't. We have to really pay attention and listen to what the patient is saying. A lot of times in this profession, there's preconceived notions by the therapist that says, oh, I know what's wrong with this person. And you really don't. You have to dig a little deeper. And then you go, wait a minute, you know, these people can be helped. And they almost all of them can.
That's a good thing. But again, most people get the impression that everybody who has this power is just like Dr. Sidney Friedman. I believe that's his name, from MASH, right? Nice guy that sits by you and says, so Hawkeye, tell me about your childhood and tell me about what happened with your cousin.
Yeah. I know there are people that we, my husband and I, knew who told couples that they needed to get a divorce when they certainly didn't need to get divorced. They had children and they could work it out. But sometimes the psychiatrist or psychologist doesn't have the answers and they're not ready to say, I don't know how to help you, or let me refer you to somebody that maybe can. They want to just give the short answer. And the short answer is, you're doomed. You need a divorce. You need to start over. You know, don't talk to your parents again. Those are not the real things that we should be telling patients. But in this book, unfortunately, you know, transference and countertransference, those are terms that mean we're not neutral, even though we try to be neutral. We have a bias when we meet somebody. They remind us of somebody, or we don't like them for some reason. And in this book, this psychiatrist had a bias against Peggy.
So let's put it into other perspectives here. You have seen these things, or you've seen the potential of these things happening.
Yes.
And you've watched people delve into the psychological and mental health aspects of people's lives. And I probably put that into Peggy's character, using uh-huh. their credentialed tools uh-huh. around the people to tell the story. How did your, let's put it this way, perhaps I'm going to take a step back. Uh-huh. How did your own profession and the people you met along the way inspire some of the characters or happenings in this story?
Well, I think being married to a surgeon helped, because I know how the rigorous schedules are and how little time they have for their family, because their loyalty has to be to the patients in the hospital. So we have that aspect. I know how powerful, how vulnerable really people are, women more than men, I'm going to say, but that may not be true. And when you're vulnerable and you have anxiety or depression, or there's an event that you really can't come to grips with, you're seeking anything, any piece of help from anybody that can solve the problem. And they're looking for the quick fix. And so Peggy's husband needed to help her, and that wasn't his field of expertise. So he sends her to somebody that he believes will have all the answers.
Right. You just can't lift some wrinkles up a little bit and solve every problem. That just doesn't happen that way.
No, it really doesn't. And especially looking for the quick fix. A lot of times, you know, childhood, Sigmund Freud wasn't wrong when he said childhood impacts your future. It does. And people don't want to take the time to go into psychoanalytic therapy and all of that. And sometimes they don't need it if it's just a quick fix. But generally speaking, we are who we have experienced, and we can't get away from that.
No, we cannot. Tell our audience a little more about yourself, though. And like I said before, you've been writing nonfiction self-help books for a long time. This mm-hmm. is an initial foray into real life, or real fiction and real mystery. Of course, a psycho thriller. You're going to have a sequel coming out. But we did say your expertise really helped this whole thing out. Tell our audience a little bit more about yourself. We did touch on it, but more if you can.
Okay.
Just so we can all get a perspective on where you're coming from when you write the book.
Okay. Well, I always wanted to help people. So I became a registered nurse, much to the chagrin of my parents, who wanted me to be a ballet dancer, but that's another story. So I became a registered nurse. I loved nursing, absolutely loved nursing. And I worked in New York City and I worked in Washington, D.C. at two of the finest hospitals. Then I moved with my surgeon husband to Florida. And the hospital here was a small hospital, and they wanted me to work. If I was going to get a job there, I had to work evenings and nights and weekends, which I understand, but I had four small children, so I couldn't do it. And he was on call, so somebody had to be home. So I decided, okay, let me delve into something else, but still help people. So I went on to school. I got a degree, and I decided, okay, psychology is perfect. I met my surgeon husband, and I were divorced, very friendly. He's a wonderful guy. I met a psychologist. He hired me into his practice. 20 years later, I married him, but that wasn't the reason I worked there. And I found it fascinating. Fascinating because you think you know every story. I mean, I probably saw hundreds and hundreds of patients. And yet each person that walked in had a variation on the theme of the story, and you were always shocked at what the outcome would be, or what the twist or turn was in their life, or how one thing impacted their entire future. And so when I started to write the book, I would actually write a chapter and go, so what happened to her? And then I had to go to sleep on it for a few weeks. And then I'd think, oh, I know what happened. And then somebody else would enter in and I go, why is he here? And so those were how the questions of how the book became its own journey. I actually said, what are you doing here? But I was saying it in my mind. What are you doing here, Detective Harvey?
Another thing, and I have with me on Book Spectrum, Lori Elizabeth Murphy. She wrote the book, Dream Me Home. We're talking about that. One thing we touched on, and I'd like you to elaborate on, is that you also found a way to make the other make the reader care deeply about the other characters in the book.
Because even when patients came in to my practice and you thought immediately, okay, I'm not going to like this person or this kid is never going to amount to anything, you realize after getting to know them, there's always a side to them that's redeemable. There's always something in their psyche that really, if you reach them, are kind and considerate. So in my book, there was always a reason, except for one character, there was always a reason that people in there that you didn't like behaved that way. And you started to feel sorry for them. And then you started to like them. And the more you like them is kind of the better they turned out in the book. Adversely, the people that you thought were the really good guys, you know, you pulled back the veil and you thought, you know, they're hiding something. What is it? What are they hiding? And then you start to realize, oh, I misjudged them too. They're not as good as we thought. It's just human nature.
And that it is. You also said that you were writing a sequel to the book.
Yes.
Is that going to center on one or more of the characters?
I'm bringing back two of the characters for sure. And I'm going to have to bring back Peggy. I know she's dead.
Why not? Right. Obi-Wan Kenobi came back a few times, right?
Yeah, because Peggy still knows a lot of dirt on her husband and a few other people. So she's going to have to come back. Not quite sure how we're going to do that, but Peggy will let me know when I put her on the page.
Aside from the sequel, might this endeavor have inspired you to produce more mysteries, thrillers, or similar types of books in the future?
You know, I had my original book was going to be a three-generational book of people that came here from the Ukraine and Greece. But now that there's all kinds of problems in that part of the world, I tabled that book. That's going to be a three-generational book for some other time. But I like a mystery. I love a mystery. My mind is now into mysteries. In fact, I didn't know I was as devious until recently.
Well, now you do.
I do.
Where can our listeners find out more about the book Dream Me Home and, of course, you, Laura?
My website is lauriemurphy.net. It's L-A-U-R-I-E, lauriemurphy.net. And there's a trailer to the book on that website. There's also all kinds of reviews that I've gotten from reviewers, which are thankfully very positive. They can buy the book. There's a button on the website to go straight to Amazon Books or Barnes & Noble. They can just hit that button and go there, or they can, you know, dial it in.
Lori Murphy, thank you very much for being with us on Book Spectrum. Once again, the title is Dream Me Home. The twists and turns are, well, we talked about them, but you're going to have to read them for yourself. Thank you very much for listening. Once again, I'm your host, Chris Cordani, and keep those pages turning.